Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 22, Genesis in chapter 22, as we'll be preaching from this morning. But before then, of course, this is Independence Day, a day that we have set aside as a nation to just remember and to be thankful for our independence, our freedoms. And sometime I just feel like that we are losing sight of the history that has made this nation the nation that it is. And I think it's very important that we remember our history. And just a couple thoughts concerning some of our forefathers and things that are just history. It's true. In the very beginning, 52 of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Orthodox, deeply committed Christians. Amen. That's just history. That's truth. The other three all believed in the Bible as the divine Word of God. The first Congress formed the American Bible Society, and immediately after creating the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress voted to purchase and import 20,000 copies of Scripture for the people of this nation. Patrick Henry, who is called the firebrand of the American Revolution, who is still remembered for his words, "Give me liberty or give me death." But in current textbooks, the context of these words are somewhat deleted. Here is what he actually said: "An appeal to arms and the God of hosts is all that is left us. But we shall not fight our battle alone. There is a just God that presides over the destinies of nations. The battle, sir, is not of the strong alone. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." The following year, in 1776, he wrote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that reason alone, people of other faiths have been afforded freedom of worship here." Thomas Jefferson wrote on the front of his well-worn Bible, "I am a Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator and, I hope, to the pure doctrines of Jesus also." George Washington, the father of our nation, in his farewell speech on September the 19th, on 1796, said this: "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all the dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are the indispensable supporters. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to accept that our national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president of the United States, reaffirmed this truth when he wrote, "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Wow, that's some powerful stuff. In 1782, the United States Congress voted this resolution. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. William Holmes McGuffey is the author of the McGuffey Reader, which was used for over 100 years in our public schools with over 125 million copies sold until it was stopped in 1963. President Lincoln called him the schoolmaster of our nation. James Madison, the primary author of the Constitution of the United States, said this, "We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political constitutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments." Today we're asking God to bless America, but how can He bless a nation that has departed so far from Him? Just a couple thoughts, and yet so important that we understand our history and the men that God worked through to establish this great United States of America. With that said, this is Independence Day. The most important thing for any true patriot to look to is faith in God. We had it in the beginning, and we need to have it today. There's no better Bible story to look to than what we're going to be looking to this morning as the message. So Genesis chapter 22, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read this together, verse 1 down to verse 12. The Bible says in verse 1 in chapter 22 of Genesis, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with this ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I and my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from him. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we love you, Lord, and thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us as individuals, as a church, and as a nation. And God, I trust that we would never forget our history and how that it's you that we need to look to. It's only you that have given us and made us the nation that we are. I pray, God, that we would have a desire to continue to keep the faith and be obedient to your word. I pray that you'd bless now the preaching of thy word. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Faith in God. That's what's most important. I trust that as a church we have that faith. But my desire is that as a nation we would look back to that faith. And it could be the church that has the influence to get people to do just that. Abraham was chosen by God to establish the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel in history would be known as God's chosen people. It was a nation from the Old Testament that God rose up and established to represent God to the world. When Jesus came, he fulfilled that Old Testament. He fulfilled all of the prophecies, he fulfilled all the law, and he established New Testament Christianity. Because it's New Testament Christianity that God wants to use to represent Christ to the world. And I trust if you have received Jesus Christ that you understand that that's part of God's will for our lives, that we represent Christ to the world in everything. And what the Bible teaches is God's word and God's will for humanity. We support that, and we want to preach that, and we want to live that. We want to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and representing Christ. But we have this Old Testament story of Abraham and Isaac as an example of faith for Christianity to look to. Because biblical principle here is the same today as it would have been there. Do we have the faith to obey God? No matter what God would ask us to do. In the book of Galatians, and write it down, but let me just read it to you. But in Galatians in chapter 3, and Paul writing to the church of Galatia, wants them to understand that we have Abraham as an example for us to look back to because God preserved it for us. But in Galatians in chapter 3, in verse 6, Paul writes, he says, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, The same are the children of Abraham, children of God. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, he would justify the lost through faith in Jesus Christ, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham would be faithful to obey God, and by him being faithful to obey God, receive the blessings of God upon his life. Now, as we look back here to Genesis in chapter 22 and verse 2, I can't imagine being Abraham and having God speak to him in an audible voice. And of course, this is Old Testament, and this is Old Testament the way it was then. Principles are the same, but even then, Old Testament Israel did not believe in human sacrifices. The pagans believed in human sacrifices. The Jews, the Old Testament Israel, did not. It was not in the scriptures, quite opposite that. And today I know that we will not ever hear something like this because God does not speak to us in an audible voice today. What we receive from God that we are to be obedient to is the full revelation that has been written down and preserved in the Bible. There will be no other acts that we have to be obedient to from God. Now, the devil might try to make you think something and try to blind you to certain things, but listen to me, we focused on the Bible. It's that this Bible represents the very mind and the will of God. This Bible represents what God would have us to do, New Testament Christianity, and it's this Bible that we as Christians need to have faith to obey. When you start reading it and you start hearing it preach and you grow in your faith and you understand this is what God would have you to do, then that's something that you have to have the faith, no matter what it might be. If it's in the scriptures, if it's what God has commanded us to do, then we must have the faith to obey the scriptures because they represent the will of God. So here we find in Old Testament here, this represents the will of God because Abraham heard God tell him this, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And can you imagine the love that Abraham had for this child after he had waited so long, and then he gets the promises of God that he was going to have this child and that this child would carry his seed and all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham and through Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Would make no sense. Have you ever wondered, maybe even questioned, how could God tell Abraham to sacrifice his only son? It's in scriptures. But can I tell you that God knew all along what he would use as a testimony for New Testament Christianity? Abraham's faith was tested, and that was being tested. It gives us a biblical principle that if we have the faith to obey whatever God says, there is blessings associated with that kind of obedience. Because verse 1 it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, and that tempting was a test. That's what the Bible is revealing, and that's exactly what would happen, that he would test Abraham because he was going to establish Abraham's faith in the entire Old Testament for us to look back to. And to be able to even see how our faith is in Jesus Christ, but the principle of faith is seen here with Abraham. Faith to be obedient no matter what. And in verse 15, he goes on to say this. He says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, the greatest sacrifice. I knew exactly what would be the greatest sacrifice that I could ever have you to do. I understood the love that you had for Isaac. I understood that you would have laid down your life. There's no doubt about that. You would have done anything and everything for your son Isaac. And God says, I ask you to take his life. I ask you to sacrifice him. A test of your faith. Would you do anything? Would you obey whatever I would tell you to do? And you have not withheld thy son, thine only son. And he says this, that in blessing I will bless thee. Because you've done this and you have established your faith in me, you have put me first in your life. A principle that Jesus would teach us when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. But you got to put me first. That the blessings I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the earth's shore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. What a great story. I mean, we look at this and we wonder, God, how could you ask him to do that? And yet God says, I knew exactly what he loved the most and what he would be the hardest for him to agree to do. And it was a test of his faith. Never was it God's will for Abraham to take his own son's life. It was never God's will for Abraham to sacrifice. God didn't do that, but it was God's will to test Abraham to see if he was willing to do whatever God would ask him to do. And when Abraham did that, Abraham knew that he was willing to do whatever God would ask him to do. God is omniscient. He knew already. But Abraham needed to know that. And the testimony from Abraham is what has been passed down through all these years. And the faith of Abraham has been passed down through all these years. And we today, as New Testament Christianity, we have this to look back to and to learn from that we need to be willing to do whatever it is that God has asked us to do. And as we have faith in God to do it, we know that the blessings will follow because of who it is that we have put first in our lives. And all the nations of the earth have been blessed. Linked all the way back to faithful Abraham. This great United States of America, where did our forefathers get the faith to do and establish what they have done and established? And from Abraham. From the Bible. From understanding how important faith is in society. Yeah. Abraham had faith, but how great a faith? He would not have known how great a faith until after this testing. You say, I have faith. How great a faith? I believe. How great is your belief? One of the things that we know will take place in New Testament Christianity is our faith to obey God will be tested. Our faith will be tested. It's taught throughout the scriptures about our faith being tested. If we go back over to, let me just read to you here in the book of 1 Peter. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. We're kept by the power of God through our faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though for now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation or trials. If need be, if you don't understand how that your faith is where it needs to be and God needs to increase your faith, then he says, if need be, I want you to have greater faith. And so because I want you to have greater faith, there's going to be trials of your faith. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise. Can I tell you where Abraham was in his faith to obey and the fire that he went through, but on the other side of that, the rejoicing of coming down off that mountain with Isaac, his son, by his side, and with his faith increased, was worth more than all the gold that he could ever collect. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Do you understand how important your faith is? Do you understand, as the faith of America goes, America goes. The reason that this nation was established and the reason that we had so many great victories and the reason that we became the greatest power on this planet was based upon the faith of the people of America. Our faith in God. And if we read our history, it is evident. There is no question about it. There is no doubt about it. It's our faith in God. And what is being attacked more than anything else today? America's faith in God. Abraham's willingness to give to God whatever God asked for is a powerful example for us today. Our faith will be tested. Do you know that many Christians fear what God might ask of them? And they get out of church because of their fear of what God might ask them to do. I remember vividly a young teenager surrendered to the mission field. Her parents were so upset that they pulled her and they left the church because they didn't want her going to the mission field. Only move ahead 5 years after that, she met a man who was a Satan worshiper. She ended up moving in with him and becoming a Satan worshiper herself. It devastated her parents. They were so fearful of her surrendering her life to Christ and to the mission field that they pulled her out of the thing that would have made her the most happiest. They pulled her out of what was going to bring the most joy and pleasure in her life turned out to be a very disastrous decision. Wow. Many fear what God might ask of them. So we have our example of an extreme ask of Abraham. Amen. You couldn't get any more extreme than what God asked Abraham to do. And we can see that. Can I tell you, obedience worked out for Abraham. Obedience will work out for us every time. No matter what. Because God is faithful. And we have this biblical principle. Abraham, come off the mountain rejoicing, praising God, and established a testimony that impacted the entire world, that impacted the United States of America. Whether you truly understand it or not, it impacted this great nation. An extreme ask of God. And the faithfulness to be willing to do whatever God would ask him to do. You see, we should never fear what God asks us to do, but we all ought to remind ourselves of who God is. And if you truly understand who God is, and you understand he loved us enough to send his only begotten son to die for us, could he ask too much? Could he ask too much of any one of us? Being who he is? Can I tell you this morning, I do not believe that my wife could ever ask too much of me. How do you know that? Because I know she loves me. Because I know she loves me, she could never ask too much of me. If you know somebody loves you, you're going to be more willing to do whatever they ask you to do for them because you know that they love you and you love them, but you know that they would not ever ask you. True love would never ask you to ask for too much from you. If they knew you and knows what you have. Can I tell you that God could not ask too much of us? He knows us and he loves us. And so whatever he would ask of us would be based upon what is the best for us. Our faith to obey will be tested. Abraham's faith to obey was tested. The second part is in verse 3 when it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." He obeyed. Can I tell you, we need to learn to be ready to obey without hesitation. It's a hesitation that gets you every time. You're giving the devil time to talk you out of it. Yeah. Commands are not suggestions. They are orders to be carried out. You open this Bible and you find the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. And you look to the New Testament and you find everything that Jesus Christ presented as far as all the commandments and all the law and tells us this is what's most important. This is what you do with everything in the Old Testament. You love God with your whole being. And you love your thy neighbor, your people, humanity with your whole being. And if you truly love them, you will do right by them. If you truly love God, then you understand who God is, and you're going to be ready to do whatever God asks of you to do. See, Abraham controlled his mind and his emotions and simply trusted God. If he would have hesitated, do you know what kind of thoughts would have went through his mind? Yeah, some of the same thoughts that goes through our minds when we know God wants us to do something that we don't want to do. And we run from God. God called me to ministry. I ran from God. I knew what God wanted me to do, and I didn't want to do it. Until I realized it was the best thing for my life. And God got me to that place to understand that. And once I understood that, I was ready to, without hesitation, I surrendered and just trusted God. Psalms chapter 19, let me just read this to you. Almost done here, so hold on. And don't lose sight of what I'm presenting to you this morning. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. The statutes of the Lord coming from God are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Whatever God would command us to do, whatever God would ask us to be obedient to is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. The reverence of God, of the Lord, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors, and cleanse thou me from secret faults? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Control your mind and your heart. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You trust God. You don't understand it, but you know it's in the Bible. You know it's what God would have you to do. Don't give yourself time to talk yourself out of it. Don't seek the wrong counsel. Just submit to it. Just understand who it is that's asking you to do it. And when you understand what it is that God is asking you to do, be obedient. Yeah. Don't hesitate. Just commit to it. And then the last thing, once you've done it, once you've surrendered to it, look for the blessings. The blessings of faith to obey. Having faith to obey opens a door of future blessings. The Bible says in chapter 22 and verse 13, and Abraham, after all this has happened, the angel stopped him. Abraham lifted up his eyes. He started looking. God, if I'm not to take Isaac and he's not to be the sacrificial lamb, then I know that you have one ready. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God will supply. Whew. And God did supply. And Abraham, coming down off the mountain with Isaac, who at this point had been dedicated to God, was shouting hallelujah and rejoicing Most of you know, of course, Rusty and Crystal. They just left the church to pastor in Houston just a few weeks ago. Rusty and Crystal had been battling a little bit with a full-time ministry, and God had been working really in Rusty's heart. And she became pregnant with twins. She carried the twins for 22 weeks. Had complications. We was there in the hospital with them. She delivered twin boys. They live for just outside the womb. They live for just a few minutes. They lived long enough to establish, and we got them a birth certificate. And then they had to get a death certificate for both of them. It was somewhat in the beginning a little devastating for Rusty and Crystal. We stood around the bed and we held both of these little boys. Seen them take their last breath. A couple weeks afterwards, they were still struggling. I told them, I said, "Do you believe in God? Could God ask too much of us?" I said, "What you need to do is thank God for those 22 weeks. How those two little boys were such a blessing for 22 weeks. They were just so excited about twins and so excited about the pregnancy." I said, "Thank God for those 22 weeks and look back up to God for the blessings that are going to follow." I didn't know for sure. I just knew that blessings follow obedience. And obedience is to give God glory, to give Him praise, to be thankful, and to rejoice in all things. Very difficult, but I said, "It's what you need to do." I said, "I believe God's going to give you another set of twins." I didn't know, but I know they needed to believe that. And I knew it was true. Not that necessarily He's going to give them two another set of twins, but there were blessings to obedience to God. I didn't know what the blessings were going to be. It wasn't much time after that. She got pregnant with twins. For the last 5 years, little Reagan and Sam have been running around this church. Every time I saw them, it reminded me of the blessings of obedience. We must have faith to obey
no matter what. And once you've obeyed, look up. God has blessings in store. I could have every head bowed. Is there something that God's asking you to do? Don't hesitate. Have faith to obey. It's what we need. It's what our church needs. It's what our nation needs. Faith in God. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you for the example of Abraham and helping us to put it all together and be able to learn from this story. I don't know just what's going on in the lives of all that are here, all that will hear this message, but God, you do. And this is truth from an almighty God that we need to grasp. I pray that we would see people grasping it and we would make commitments and we would have faith to obey. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.